Father, we love you, Lord, this morning. We thank you. We give you praise and give you glory. Thank you because you are a very present help in the time of need. No matter what we're going through, where we're being, where we are, where we're going, you know everything. And we commit our lives into your hands, O Lord. We give you praise and give you glory and honor. As to your word, Lord, we declare that the entrance thereof brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be today as we share the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll be continuing on our series of engaging the word of God in the spirit. And we are reading through the book of Psalms 119, reading through it. We remind ourselves that the word of God must be received, you know, as it is the word of God indeed, and not the word of man. This Bible is infallible, as to the word of God that it presents to us, and we must receive it as such. And when you hear the word of God being preached, well, we must also search the scriptures. The Bible says that, you know, the Bereans, they search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pick up the reading of the word of God from Psalm 119, and I'm going to start from verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to learn and to keep your statutes to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. We've always been talking about understanding. It's so key when we hear the word of God. Jesus said, the wayside hearers of the word, they had no understanding. So the birds of the air, meaning the devil, came and plucked it out of their heart. And may the Lord give us understanding when we hear his word. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. May the Lord help us to be like this. Someone that wants to observe the word of the Lord and keep it with all our hearts. Jesus said there's a tremendous blessing, you know, for doing that. John 14 and 21. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he that keeps my commandments, he it is that loves me, Jesus said. You know, and his commandments are not grievous, we know that. And if you love me and keep my commandments, well, I love you too. And I will manifest myself, my Father, and I will come, make our abode with him. Precious, precious promises. Hallelujah. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. But let's examine our hearts. Do you delight in the commandments of the Lord? You know, when the Lord commands, you know, and when he speaks to us, either through his word, you're hearing it, or you're reading it on your own, or the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, are you always ready to take the word of God as it is and to do what he says? Say, I delight in it. That's how this man was. I delight in thy word. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Ah, covetousness, a terrible thing. You know, the Bible warns us that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You know, having therefore food and raiment, let us be content. You know, let us not be covetous. And again, he goes beyond that, you know, not to desire to have and to take away from your neighbor what they have. That's covetousness. thou shalt not covet, you know, thy neighbor's wife, thy neighbor's husband, thy neighbor's lands or goods or anything that is thy neighbor's. I shall not covet. You know, if you want and you need something from the Lord, you talk to the Lord. The Lord will give you your own. I shall not covet whatever belongs to someone else. Praise the Lord. Now, covetousness, the same as, you know, idolatry. You know, our hearts are just consumed around that thing. No. Our hearts should be consumed with the Lord. Turn away my eyes, Lord, from beholding vanity. You know, I mean, things that defile the soul. That's what I define vanity. Things that defile the soul. You know, so Jesus, you know, said, look, keep your eyes from evil. You know, he said the man, you know, that has his eyes single, that's a good thing. You know, keep your eyes from that. If your eye, you know, is single and it has light, then great will be the light of your body. Because the eye is a portal for the soul. But if that eye is evil, well, how great is the darkness then that will be in that body? Keep our eyes. Keep my eyes, Lord, from beholding vanity. And let me not even dwell upon it. If I should see it, let me not dwell upon it. Let me remove my eyes from it. Praise the Lord. And quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, Lord, who is devoted to thy fear. I mean, every one of these powerful verses, we see, you know, how David's heart was after the Lord in doing the things of God. Not that he was perfect. We already covered his story a few weeks ago. But it was in his heart to do the right thing. You know, some moments of carelessness and things like that. But always ready to go back to the Lord in repentance. Take away, Lord, my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Righteousness is what gives life. Quicken means make alive. You know, the righteousness of God, Jesus himself talked about it. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first. Say, look, don't be seeking the same things that the Gentiles or unbelievers are seeking. You know, but you should seek first the righteousness of God, the kingdom of God, and the righteousness of God. That's where our pursuit should be. These are the things that should excite us. You know, most people, unfortunately, even believers, the things that excite us still are the things of the world. But the things of God are the things that should excite us. You hear about the Lord, when you think upon the Lord, when you meditate upon the Lord, there should be an excitement that it creates in our heart to want to know more. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you. And, well, Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If there's a hunger and there's a thirst in our hearts for the things of God, there's a promise that we shall be filled. Praise the Lord. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Let the integrity of your heart, as it relates to the word of God, let it speak for you. Praise God. People are always going to try to be a reproach unto you, or so say this, or so say that. You know, so what? You can't control what somebody is going to say. They can say anything they want. What you can control is how you react. Praise God. You don't need to react at all. You know, and them say whatever they want to say. Praise God. The Bible already says, you know, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, condemned. This is the, you know, heritage of the servants of the Lord, and that righteousness of me, say the Lord. We don't even need to worry about that. You know, you face the Lord. You trust in his word. Say, in that word of the Lord do I trust. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, you know, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. The word of truth, Isaiah 59 and 21. The spirit of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth and, you know, out of thy heart. The spirit of God will not depart from you. Even scriptures tell us, meditate on the word. It will not depart of your mouth. Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and so on. Say, look, this word of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth. You meditate upon it day and night. You got to meditate on that word. And you speak the word. You speak what the word of God says. The intent of us studying these things about the word of God, focusing on the word of God, is to remind us that the bride elect of God, of Jesus, must be like the word. It must be like a walking, living, breathing word. You're just like the word. Because Jesus himself, you know, I mean, God said that we will be like Jesus. You know, we'll be conformed to his image. We'll be like the word. You'll be the word, right? You know, there's always word out of your mouth. And it is the word of God. It's not the word of man. Jesus said, look, the Son can do nothing. John 5 and 19. Whatever the Father shows him, whatever the Father does, that's what he does. Can't do anything. What the Father speaks, that's what he speaks. But what Father speaks to us too, because we are also sons of God. That's what we speak. The word of God is in our mouth. You know, this word must always be in your mouth. Always speak it. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says, look, concerning the word of God, it's not far from you. It should be in your mouth. I mean, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, going to heaven to bring Jesus down or looking for him in the grave. It's not there. The word is in your mouth. That word must always be in your mouth. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, you know, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And what will be the benefits? He will be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. His leaves shall not fail. I mean, that means he'll never be out of season. You know, when the trees are out of season, then their leaves will fail and so forth. They can't bring forth fruit. But this man, because he's connected to the source, what's the source? The word of God. John 6 and 63, which is our foundation scripture for this series. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh can profit nothing, but it is the spirit that quickeneth. Praise the Lord. And Hebrews 4 and 12, we keep referring to these verses. The word of God is so powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It's quick. Quick means alive. It's powerful. It's a designer even of the thoughts and intents. And separate between the soul and the spirit. That's how you do it. Use the word of God for those nevertheless moments. You know, the Lord says one thing, your heart is trying to go a different way. The soul is afraid, fearful, unbelieving, or whatever. And all these emotions that are mixed up in the soul. Sometimes the emotions are not according to the word of God. Sometimes they are, sometimes they are not. But the spirit must be aligned with the word of God. And you use that word to divide between the soul and the spirit. You know, when Jesus said, launch out into the deep, to Peter and his co-fishermen. I begin to say, Lord, we've done all that. I mean, we've been there all night long. And we've caught nothing. We've already packed in our nets. You know, we're done for the day. I mean, it's like, look, we've been here all night long. Today is just not today. That's what the soul thinks. But the spirit will immediately remember that this is the master that is speaking. And when Peter immediately remembers, say, ah, nevertheless at thy word, we will do it. And Jesus said, yeah, do it again. Praise the Lord. And those nevertheless moments, even when things look like, you know, they're not happening. Nothing happening according to even what the Lord promised. Stay with the word. You know, those nevertheless moments bring you, refreshing. Yeah, it's like rejuvenation. When my soul is famished, you know, when you feel like an owl in the wilderness, you know, you feel like a sparrow on the housetop, you know, and yeah, nothing going on. Wow. That's when you connect even more with the word of the Lord. Connect with the word of the Lord. If this word, Paul says, let this word dwell richly in your heart. If this word dwells richly in your heart, it's like a fountain of life. You can always go there. It's like a well too, you know. You can always go there. Isaiah, chapter 12 and verse 3. You can always, you know, go and draw water out of the wells of salvation. Say, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, always go to the word of God. There's sustenance there. You know, a substance there to sustain us. Praise the Lord. Now, teach me, O Lord, according to thy word. You know, and the psalmist would say things like, I have respect unto thy law. Always he has respect, he said. And he always wanted to do the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is good, profitable for correction, for rebuke, you know, for doctrine and for instruction in righteousness, you know, to thoroughly furnish us unto all good works. Praise the Lord. And so as we continue in the reading of the word of God, pause after we read each verse and think about it and pray that those words will be your own testimony as well. When the man says, in thy word, in thy precepts do I delight. Well, let's pray that that will be our story as well. You know, quicken me according to thy law and so forth. I've hoped in thy judgment. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Continuing at verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Amen. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies, even before kings. It doesn't matter. Kings and those in authority, you know, before the law, before whatever. You speak of the testimonies of the Lord. And they grabbed, you know, Peter, John, and, you know, sometimes some of the other disciples said, look, and they threatened them not to speak in the name of the Lord, not to do miracles, not to do anything. These people said, well, judge within yourselves. You know, who should we obey? Either God or you? Praise the Lord. You know, so before kings, before those in authority, before whomever, ready to give a testimony, ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in you. And I will not be ashamed. I will speak of thy testimonies in the congregation. Oh, that's a good one. But even among unbelievers, even before kings and authorities, you know, and never be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandment, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. Let me see how this man describes his relationship to the word of God. And I will meditate in thy statutes. We should meditate upon the word of the Lord all day long. Just think about what the Lord is saying, what he has said, what you've read in the scriptures, what the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Things that you might read again in the scriptures or hear being read out of the scriptures, just meditate upon them. Think on these things. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 says, look, you know, direct your thoughts in these things. Don't let your thoughts wander around. Channel your thoughts into the things that are good. Yeah, things that are honest, things that are true, think that's a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, or you know, whatever things have these qualities, and these are the things that we should think about. Praise God. God has already given us the guidelines, you know, things that are good, you know, things that are true, things that are honest, things that have virtue. These are praise, a good report. And these are the things. You know, 1 John 3 and 22 says, look, we know that we receive of him whatsoever we ask. Because we do two things. We keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, so even when there is no explicit commandment, keeping his commandments, I've often said, that's, you know, what I call active obedience. Doing the things that are pleasing on his side, like, you know, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, whatever is, you know, it's of any virtue, of any praise. I mean, does he give glory to God? Think on these things. You know, be guided by those choices. You know, even if you don't know what God has said about the matter at hand. You know, think about it. Consider what Philippians 4 and 8 says. Is there any virtue in this thing that you're about to do or say? Is there any praise? Does it bring glory to God? You know, is it honest? Is it true? You know, I don't engage in something that's not true, that's not honest. You know, sometimes, you know, we engage in so many things. We don't even know whether they are true. You know, backbiters, gossipers, talebearers. Bring stories. Why would you engage in those things? You don't even know if they're true. Even if they were true, what's your concern? You know, you focus on things that are good, things that are pure, things that are lovely. You know, is that a lovely report? Is that a lovely thing to do? Is it virtuous? Is that virtue? Does it have praise? Does it give glory to God? You know, can be guided by those choices. Yeah. You know, that's it. And if you do those things that are pleasing in his sight, Jesus said in John 8 and 29, my Father that sent me has not left me alone. He's always with me. Why? Because I do always those things that are pleasing in his sight. Glory to God. And so if we do also always those things that are pleasing in God's sight, we can say the same thing. You know, then we have confidence. We know that we receive and we will get anything that we ask of him. Because one, we're doing his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And two, we're doing those things that are pleasing inside. If I know it pleases the Lord, then I do it. And if I know it doesn't please the Lord, then I don't do it. Praise the Lord. I love thy statutes, and I will meditate in them. Praise the Lord. Let's continue and read the next section as well. Praise the Lord. I will be reading from verse 49. Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And you trust in the Lord. Blessed are they that put their trust and their hope in the Lord. Do you put your trust and hope in the Lord? Well, what we have from the Lord today is the word of God. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. I trusted in the Lord. I trust his word. If the Lord says so, you trust that word. Even though you can't see it right away, but you trust it. Your evidence is your faith. Faith is the evidence, we're told. You know, this is the evidence that you know this thing is going to be like God said, because you trust him. And there's a blessing for it. You know, hallelujah. I want us to there will be many verses, you know, later on towards the end of this series, you know, that I will call out for special reflection, like even memory verses. You know, but here's a good one that's from Jeremiah 17 and 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the word of the Lord. Because God's word is his bond. And so God has elevated his word, and we also need to elevate the word of God in our hearts. And we get down to verse 89 of this Psalm 119. We'll see what it says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Let it also be settled in your heart. Whatever God has said, let it be settled. Whether it looks like it at the moment or not. Praise God. It's settled in the heavens. Let it also be settled in our hearts. Jesus taught his disciples to pray and said, let the will of God be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, let thy word also be settled in my heart as it is already settled in heaven. You know, when God has already spoken, it is done. For he commanded, you know, and it stands fast. He speaks and it is done. So, you know, let it be settled. Settle it in your heart also. Praise God. And settle the things in your heart before even there's any question about it. Settle in your heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that was their response. Said, look, we have settled this thing in our hearts. There is no need for us to go and think about it to give you an answer. We already know what our answer is. It's already done. It's settled. It's a settled matter. We will not bow. That's it. We've determined, we've settled this in our heart. Even before the situation arises, you've already settled your response. You know, I will not bow. Peter said, where else shall we go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. You settled that in your heart. Praise the Lord. You've just settled it. Glory to God. I remember as a young man coming into the faith, you know, I was only 17. And then by the time I was 19, the Lord gave me a Holy Spirit baptism experience. And from that time, I settled it in my heart. I just settled it in my heart. That's it. You know, it's a done deal. You know, I settled it in my heart. This way is the way. Settled. There's nothing you can do about it. I remember back then people said, oh, it was youthful exuberance, you know, and this and that. It'll fade away in a few years. Fade away in a few years. Are you kidding me? That's almost 24 or so years ago. I mean, 54, I want to say. 54 or so years ago. And we're still here and even more excited. It's useful exuberance, nothing. You know, you settle it in your heart. They used to tell us back then that, well, you know, people disdained, you know, it's useful exuberance, you know, eventually, you know, they settle down, they wear off and so on. No, that's no such thing. I've settled it. I have decided follow Jesus. I've decided, you know, settled in my heart. Ezra prepared his heart, Ezra 7 and 10, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And then to teach the same, you know, statutes in Israel, judgments, teach these things. But first, determined in his heart, he prepared his heart to do it. Glory to God. Is your heart prepared? You know, every day we can prepare our hearts again for the word of God. You know, it's like a farmer. You don't till the land just one time. At the beginning of the planting season, you may break up that fallow ground, clear it and so forth. But, you know, later on, you have to clear it again because the weed, those some of those weeds, they are stubborn. They just don't go away. You weed the thing, especially if you don't pull it out from the root. If you cut the weed, you know, just cut the weed, you're wasting your time. You got to pull it out. You got to root it out. And even sometimes when you root it out, some of the seed will fall back into the ground and it'll grow again. And those seed, those things are stubborn. And did you know that the same rain that blesses the good vegetation, you know, the good plants that you care about, it's the same rain that makes the weed to grow. Same thing. And sometimes the weed, you know, they take the nourishment, the moisture, everything, and choke the life out of the real plants that you care about. So it's a constant battle, constantly weeding out these things, you know. Praise God. And it's like the old man also, constantly putting him down, you know, put off the old man and put on the new man, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a constant thing. It's not a one-time thing. So I put off the old man years ago. No, you did, but the old man will rear his head again and again, like those Philistines. You beat them, they'll come back. They go away, they regroup, they'll come back again. You know, there's just no way around that. And so, but it's a constant meditation on the word of God. Yeah. How shall I continue to cleanse my ways? By taking heed, oh Lord, according to thy word. Now that cleanses us. But, you know, the word of God is even beyond that. This is the thing that is feeding our spirit to become like Christ. You know, praise God. That word must be infused in us. Like John 1 and 14 said, the word of God was made flesh. Hallelujah. That word, I mean, you know, must be infused in us, made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, Mary believed that word. Said, let it be unto me, Lord, according to thy word. And that word was made flesh inside of her when she believed. You know, as we believe this word, this is the thing that is transforming us into the image of Christ, the word of God. Washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5 and 26. Every day you hear this word, you intake the word, you ingest it into your heart, your soul, into your spirit. You speak nothing but the word. Nothing but the word. This is the composition, in anatomy of the sons of God. We did this some weeks ago. This is what they will be like eventually. You know, and it's all said and done. So speak nothing but the word. You know, and if they hear something too that's not according to this word, they just dismiss it. You know, Isaiah 8 and 20 said, look, to the law and the testimony, that's your so-called litmus test or whatever. You know, you go back to the word, is this thing, you know, in alignment with the word? Whether the thing that you're trying to do or say or somebody is saying, you know, doing, is it in alignment? You know, just follow, just because everybody is doing it. So what? You know, I'm not everybody. Everybody be doing it. You know, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everybody is finding it. So don't follow everybody, you know. But the road that leads to life is very tight. It's narrow. You know, few people be there that find it, you know. Broad is the gate. The way leads to destruction. Everybody is doing that. Don't you ever follow everybody. I tell young people, don't follow everybody. Don't follow the crowd. Follow the crowd into destruction. That's not what you want. You know, be a standout person for Christ. Praise the Lord. And stay with the word of God. You don't need, you know, anybody to tell you anything other than what the scriptures have already told you. Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah 17 and 7 is a powerful memory verse that you can learn. And there are many also that we will give out of this Book of Psalms, chapter 119 later on. So these things that the psalmist is talking about, how he cleaves unto the word of God, how he looks at the word of God, how he values and treasures the word of God. We're going to read more on even how he treasures the word of God, you know, as we continue in this reading. You know, the way that he takes the word of God, you know, the word of God is what I hope upon, you know, as verse 49, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. Hallelujah. Well, the proud have had me greatly in derision, and they laugh at me and so on. You know, that's because I don't decline from that word. You know, when they see that you are a stickler for the things of God, they'll make fun of you. They'll deride you. They'll say things, but who cares? I don't care what they say. You know, what we care about is what the Lord says, what the Lord thinks, not what somebody says or somebody thinks. They can laugh, you know, but doesn't matter. Say, look, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and I have comforted myself in the word of the Lord. The Lord will take care of business. Praise the Lord. Horror has taken hold of me because of the wicked. I forsake thy law. This man hates this thing, you know, hates it, you know, the things that are happening. Who are those today that are, you know, sign for the abominations that are done in the land, you know? They are troubled. They hate these things. And they sigh over the abominations. They are concerned. They pray about it. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, he said, look, God is going to set apart those that sigh and groan and mourn over, you know, the fact that the people are forsaking the word of God, the abominations that are done. Their soul is troubled. And the Lord said, put a mark on those and set them apart. But for the rest, go in utterly and slay them. Old and young, maids and little children and women, but don't come near any upon which the mark that I have set shall be upon, because they sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the land. This man said, look, my soul is distressed because of those that forsake the word of the Lord. You know, we don't let the ways of the world rub off on us. We don't justify the wicked. You know, we groan, we mourn at this wickedness that is in the land. When you're sighing constantly about it and you want to see a change, the Lord will begin to eventually make you that agent of change. Praise the Lord. Now, but you can pray even when things are not changing yet. You can continue to pray. Praise the Lord. So this man said, I myself delight in the law of the Lord, but my soul is distressed because of those, you know, that forsake the way and forsake the Lord. More so, if you see that, you know, in the house of the Lord, that's even worse, you know, when you see that happening in the house of the Lord. People forsake the law of the Lord. You know, that's even worse. So let's consider the word of the Lord. See, horror, he said, taking hold of me because of those that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs, the house of my pilgrimage. I remember thy name, O Lord. That's right. In the night, I remember thy name. I kept thy law. You know, these I had because I kept thy precepts. Let's read also the next section. Just reading the word of God. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Hallelujah. This is verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I pray, Lord, help me, you know, to keep thy words. Help me, Lord, to keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me, Lord, according to thy word. I pray that the Lord will be merciful unto us. For the Lord is of great mercy, slow to anger, of great compassion, slow to wrath. And the Lord be merciful to every one of us, according to the word of the Lord, in Jesus' name. I thought on my ways. You think about your ways. Do they please the Lord? I turned my feet unto thy testimonies, you know, the things that glorify God, you know, the things that are in alignment with God's will. That's where I gravitate towards that, you know. And he said, look, I made haste. I delayed not to keep thy commandments. In the hands and, you know, of the, even the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Doesn't matter what I go through. I stay right there with it. You know, when people cheat you and people take advantage of you, you know, the things that you should get and they rob you and give it to somebody else, pass you by, you know, other people are cheating and conniving their way to get ahead and promotions and everything. But you just stay right there with the word of God. You know, you stay right there. The reward of the Lord is coming. Even at midnight, said, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear the Lord and of them that keep thy precepts. The Lord, he said, I'm a companion. Those that fear the Lord, you know, that's who you want to hang around with. You don't hang around with people who don't care about the Lord. The Lord, he said, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me of thy statutes. Praise the Lord. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me thy good judgment and knowledge. For I have believed thy commandments. Now, this next verse is very, very critical. It's going to show us a secret. Sometimes, you know, it's a very insightful verse. It said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, not every affliction is caused by going astray. But going astray will always bring affliction. That's it. You know, people may be afflicted not because they did anything wrong. But, you know, like in John chapter 9, you know, disciples asked Jesus, this man who was born blind, you know, this affliction, is it because of his sins? Or even his parents. And he inherited this affliction because of his parents' sins. Jesus said, no. Neither his sins nor yet his parents brought this affliction upon him. But the Lord has chosen him and set him apart that the works of God will be made manifest in him. It's not every affliction that's because we did something wrong. But going astray will bring affliction. That's for sure. When the sheep leaves the flock and wanders away into the bush by itself, he is going to be afflicted. You're going to be chased by wild animals, fall into the ditch, so many other things. Shepherd will rescue the sheep eventually, but he's going to suffer a lot. You know, so this verse is very critical. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. This is one of those verses that we should learn. But now, see, you know, I have kept thy word. You should learn this verse. It's a powerful, powerful verse to learn. And I think this is, what verse is it now? This is verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So we should learn this. Anytime we go astray, opening up ourselves for affliction. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, so stay in the path. Except these, stay in the ship. They cannot be saved. That's what Paul told them when they were in shipwreck. Yeah, if you go astray, if you jump ship, all kinds of things could happen. Stay in the boat. You know, stay with the word of God. He said, well, and this man acknowledged his fault too. Wow. Just like Daniel, when he was praying, he said, Lord, you know, you are a holy and righteous God, you know, and all of these evil have come upon us, you know, because we are forsaking your ways. We have not kept your statutes. You know, he aligned himself with the prayer, with the situation of his people. You know, that's a true role of a priest. You know, even though he was not a priest, he was a prophet, but he was playing that role, stood right there in prayer. And they said, we have sinned. We have done evil. That's why this great evil has come upon us, because you are a righteous God. You know, we're forsaking your ways. You know? And so this affliction came upon us. They acknowledged when we fall into error and we are punished for it, well, we should acknowledge. He said, now I've kept you. Even there are some things, not necessarily sinful things, you know, that bring affliction to us. It could just be lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. My people perish and are punished for lack of knowledge. The prudent man will foresee you, but the simple person that doesn't think, they are naive. They don't think, they don't foresee the evil. They fall into all kinds of snares, you know, and they may be punished. You got to use wisdom. And as a saying, and say, look, it doesn't matter what trouble you find yourself, what ditch you are falling into, how bad it is. If you have faith and you hope in his salvation, he'll pull you out. Faith will get you out of there, no matter what. However, wisdom will keep you from falling into that ditch in the first place. So whereas faith will pull you out, wisdom will keep you from that problem in the first place. You know, you can channel your spiritual capital into better things instead of praying to get out of trouble all the time. You got some trouble, it's because we did not use wisdom. It's not necessarily because you did some evil, but the evil could be because you did not use wisdom. People don't use wisdom in their finances, then they get into a lot of trouble, you know. People, you see some, you know, well-meaning folks, we see some, decent folks, all of a sudden they become homeless here in the United States. You see it all the time. And you think that they are crazy. They're not crazy, but they were foolish, some of them. They did not manage their finances, and then they begin to lose everything they have. You know, they took on too much. And they got into a lot of debt, so credit card and all this stuff, which they should have stayed away from, you know. But this society, they'll feed these things to you, you know. Even college students, they start to feed them credit cards and so on. It's a bait. And when people take that bait and they go into it, they run into many snares. And it's a lot of things you can get here. But when you can't pay, they're going to take it away from you. And we've seen some people that have become homeless I've always thought that homeless people were crazy people. When I was growing up as a young man in my country back then, maybe not so now, but you could not be homeless. I mean, because there's always somebody, some family, some uncle, some auntie, some cousin, some grandma, some whoever, you know, to house you. I may have changed, but if people were homeless and we thought of them as mental cases, crazy. How can you be homeless? Huh? You have family. But that was never the case here, you know, in this country. And I got here, I found a lot of people that were homeless that were not crazy at all. You know, I thought you had to be crazy to be homeless. No, they were not crazy, but many of them were foolish. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to manage their finances. You know, they had good things going, and they continued, you know, in foolishness without prudence. Just because they had a job and they had things going, and decided to get into things, you know, that they could not afford. But they think, well, you know, the credit card snare, it's a snare. It's a snare. It's like the spider's web. It's a snare. It looks attractive at first, you know. The spider is very smart. Just put that web out there. And those, you know, it looks fascinating, and those insects are crawling. It doesn't do anything. They crawl from the outside, they're crawling into the core of that web. It doesn't do anything. It just let them explore. And then suddenly he snaps that thing. When they are right in the middle of that, he snaps it like that, and that's it. And now they are trapped. They can't get out. That's how this credit card thing is a snare. That's also how the Antichrist system will be a snare unto many. At first, it looks attractive, and people are getting in there. You know, everything looks like that. And all of a sudden, boom, they snap that thing. You can't get out. You know, many people will lament, you know, when they should have stayed away. Come out of her. Stay out of her, my people. Revelation 18 and 4. When they should have done that, they didn't. They went in. And God said, stay out. They went in. And at first it looks good. Then one day they snap that thing, you know, and then you can't get out. The same thing with this, you know, the credit card snare. And people get in there and they get afflicted when they don't use common sense. They get afflicted. Look at the story of the prodigal son. You know, so many lessons in that story. It gave him to a lot of wealth, but mismanagement of his wealth brought him tremendous affliction. You know, and this was a man that you could say truly resembles this verse. Before he was afflicted, he went astray. He actually went astray. He went partying. He went down to Sin City and the riotous living and everything. Wasted his substance, even with you know, harlots and stuff. Substance wasn't just his money, even his substance, you know, and everything. And look, after he spent all, and he began to be in want, and he was afflicted big time, you know. So wisdom is necessary. Well, wisdom is too high for a fool. They can't get it. And telling them, you know, pay attention. There's some young folks, you tell them, pay attention. They don't want to listen. They want to, you know, they say, well, it's my life. I got to live my life. Your parents are telling you because they've been down that path and they're trying to keep you from it. You don't listen. You will suffer affliction, many things. If you don't stay away from there, and this is for everybody, young or old, if you don't stay away from debt, you will suffer affliction. It's coming. Because someday you will not be able to pay. And the Bible says, why should they take away your bed from you? Well, when you are not able to pay, and you are shorty for that thing, you've signed that whatever agreement, they're going to take away, you know. And they can take it away very quickly here in the United States. You don't pay your mortgage after two or three misses, you're out of there. You may be on the street, you know, and all of that. So people can be afflicted because of lack of knowledge. And there's also guardrails in the Word of God. You know, keep your eyes on the Word of God. How shall I cleanse my way? I keep His Word in my heart. You know, when we were dealing on the story of David, we saw how, you know, he went astray. And then he was afflicted. And God afflicted him because he went astray. You know, it allowed his heart to feed on the vanity that his eyes saw. And he should have restrained himself, kept himself away from it, till I've kept himself away from that. But later on in life, he said, well, I have kept myself away from that iniquity, my iniquity. Well, before I was afflicted, he said, I went astray. But now I have kept that word. He learned it the hard way, though. Well, we don't need to learn always the hard way. You know, follow the way of righteousness and it'll keep you. You know, the word of God will keep you in your way, you know, and so forth. Wisdom will also keep you in your way. Prudence will keep you in your way. Understanding will keep you. Discretion will keep you in your way. These are the pillars of wisdom. They will keep you in your way. Praise the Lord. Now, thou art good, O Lord, and thou doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. That's right. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. You know, it is good for me. Now it's coming back to that affliction now. You know, sometimes that affliction will teach you a great lesson. You know, this is a lesson that it taught him. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Stay within the guardrails. Now, the guardrails are there for a reason. You know, if you don't stay there, you may fall into the pit. And to get you out of there, it'll be a long affliction, a road of affliction sometimes. The affliction is because we went astray. So let's be careful. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. This is, you know, you're getting into the places where this man now begins to weigh the word of God versus human treasures. You know, in another place we'll see it later. I said, look, I rejoice at thy word greatly as one that found great spoil, you know, and so forth. You know, it's, the word of the Lord is better to him than thousands of gold and silver. This is the way he values the word of God. Now, what kind of value do you pay? You know, I mean, or do you put to the word of God? You value the word of God above treasure? Of riches and gold, you know, they that will be rich in the things of the world and not in the things of God, they will fall into diverse snares, the Bible says. So let us, you know, let us take the word of God into heart. And let's not be deceived at the deceitfulness of riches, at the cares of this life. Those are some things that choke the word out. You know, the story that Jesus told about the parable of the sower, he said, well, the seed that fell among thorns, those thorns are like the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches and all these things. They choke away, you know, they choke these things away. Don't let the cares of this life choke the things of God out of your heart. Don't let the deceitfulness of riches either. One man said, look, I am rich. I'm increased with goods. What else would I do? Well, I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger things. Yeah, I'm going to do all these things and so forth. You know, and the Lord said, no. In fact, tonight, thy soul will be required of your hand. Then whose shall those things be that you have laid up? Whose are they going to be? Paul was warning Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know, verse 9. He said, look, those that pursue riches without discretion, they will fall, you know, into many hurts. They that will be rich will fall into many temptations. There will be many snares. You know, the devil dangles some of these riches before people, and before they know it, they throw away their sanity because they just want those riches. They're going to fall into many snares and many temptations. You know, but be thou careful in all things, prudent in all things. Look carefully, follow the word of God, stay within the guardrails. And these things are very, very important. So before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. I've kept thy word, O Lord. That's right. You know, and I want you to help me to continue to keep thy word. I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, because now I learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know, and I'm going to leave the reading of the word of God there, you know, for now. We're going to continue at verse 73 next time. Let's meditate on the things that we have learned. So many, this thing is like a well, so deep, this verse, I mean, this book of Psalms 119, so deep of so many aspects and so many things. And let me summarize the lesson and what we are doing. We're titling this Engaging the Word of God in the Spirit. Take heed to this word. You know, let it have meaning to you. Don't just hear it. You know, some people that hear it, even James talked about forgetful hearers of the word. Don't be just hearers. Be doers of the same. You know, you hear it, but you don't do it. And then when I say, look, then you are like a person that look at your face in the mirror. You see that something needs to be fixed, but you don't fix it. And what good is the mirror to you then? So when the word of God shows you what needs to be fixed, fix it. And we don't need to be fixing it constantly. Fix it and lean on his grace to help it stay, to help you make it stay fixed. Praise the Lord. The dog has returned to her vomit. And the pig to her wallowing in the mire. This is what the scripture thinks of people who go back to their old ways. When you've been cleansed, the pig, it's no matter how you can cleanse him. When you finish cleansing him and you turn him loose, he's going to go right back into the mud. But there's a pig. That's what it does. You know, dogs, you know, they swallow their own vomit. I mean, it is gross. And the scripture says, look, outside the holy city are dogs. You know, people, you know, when the Lord has cleansed us, let us not go back again, you know, to these things, because you know, the Lord has no pleasure in dogs outside the holy city. It's not there, you know. And a dog is something or someone that goes back to its vomit. You know, if you allow those things, if you build again those things which God has helped you to destroy in your life, then what does that leave us? You know, so let these things stay crucified. When they're crucified, let them stay crucified. How do you do it? The grace of God. It's the grace of God that will help us not only to keep the word of God, but to keep our hearts constantly aligned to the word of God. That's a good reminder for us every day to hear these things to help us. In fact, the scripture says, exhort one another daily, you know, while it is called today, lest people be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, so exhorting one another in these things. The goal, by the grace of God, is that as the word of God is cleansing us, washing us, we're becoming better aligned to the nature of Christ. We're looking more like Christ. We're becoming the word bride. I mean, that's it. It's just a word, that word people, thing that comes out of their mouth, the things that they say, the way they behave, according to the word of God. You know, you can say, hey, people will take notice. Yeah, as you are being with Christ, you are becoming more and more like the Christ because you are engaging the word of God in the spirit. The things that we are hearing from the word of God every day, let them not just be, oh, wonderful message, great message, and so forth. And then we don't remember. Then that means you have not engaged in the spirit. Have engaged in the flesh. Engaging in the spirit also means that it's not just, you know, superficial learning or, you know, just academic learning, I should say. No, it comes by revelation. Jesus said, this thing that you have said out of your mouth now to Peter, he said in John, Matthew 16, he said, this thing, you didn't learn this by any teaching of man. It wasn't some seminary school. It wasn't wherever you were taught. So you were not taught this by man or the precepts of man. My Father revealed it to you. And so engaging in the spirit also means revelation. It's not just hearing it and say, oh, and it makes no impact. You know, so that's it. We must engage the word of God continually in the spirit. And let the word of God, let it have full course in our lives. You know, let it do what it is intended to do. You know, it's a pruner. It's, you know, can prune and cut and, you know, it's a razor. It's a sharp. And it's even sharper than any two-edged sword. It knows how to cut. You know, with the word of God, we can cut all those excesses out of our lives. Cut those excesses out. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is purifying, cleansing a people for himself that will be without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing. But they will be like him. It will be the word. They speak the word only. You know, they think the word, they speak the word, they act the word, they behave like the word, they function like the word. That's who we are. That's who God is crafting us to be and to become. Praise the Lord. That's it for today. Let me pray over the lesson and I will leave it for comments, reactions, and the like. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and give you glory. I honor your name and we honor your word. We magnify your word because you yourself, you have magnified the word of God. And so we magnify your word, Lord, and we thank you because thy word is indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Show me thy precepts. Cause me to know knowledge and understanding from thy word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And open unto me either the riches of your word. Give me a revelation. Because Jesus said, this flesh can profit nothing. Help me, Lord, not to learn or not to try to approach the word of God in the flesh, but in the spirit. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We honor and praise your name. And I thank you for all my brethren that are listening to the word of God. They want to be like you. We need to be like you. And we want to be like you. Help us, Lord. Every one of us. Be more and more like the Christ. The more we ingest that word every day, allowing the Holy Spirit to walk in us. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.